Hi-Fi Dream, you're listening to The Deep Dive. That is one of my favorite songs. Isaac Hayes' Few More Kisses to Go from 1978, which I call pre-hip-hop, soul pre-hip-hop, because that was essentially the basis of early 90s hip-hop. And Shadrach...
For being sampled.
Yeah. Taking pieces of that to turn into other songs. Beastie Boys started that set with Shadrach, the Joey Chavez remix, which is genius, by the way. You will definitely hear that at some point on Hi-Fi Dream outside of this show because it's going in. Just a quick note before I let you talk about Isaac Hayes. I've already professed my infatuation with his music and how important he... I put him in my Mount Rushmore of soul singers. But let me just say one crazy stat about that song we just heard. It has been sampled in 52 hip-hop songs. 52 songs have used that some part of Few More Kisses to Go. The most prominent are Snoop Dogg's Ain't No Fun from his original Dog Pound record, Redman Tonight's the Night, which is for me the reason I really knew of this song. It was in Blackstreet, Nate Dogg, Pete Rock, Shabba Ranks, Alicia Keys, Master P, The Wise Guys, Snoop Dogg again, Brian McKnight, Aaliyah, Gangstar, TLC, just to name a few artists that have sampled and used this song to great effect. What do you think of it?
That's amazing. So I think what we're talking about is that familiar sounding sample, or that familiar sounding melody made by what I had to look up, is that it goes... That's a hammered dulcimer.
And what?
Isn't that the craziest name for an instrument? The hammered dulcimer sounds like a weapon.
What?
But it's that stringed instrument that looks like a board shaped like a trapezoid.
Yeah,
strings horizontal.
That's what made that noise?
Yeah. And that's what you hit it. You hit it with these two little wooden mallets, and it makes that soft, like, attack. So it's do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
So it's like you're playing it like a drum.
Exactly. And it sounds so distinctive in its softness, but it's, like, bright, I don't know, timbre. And it sounds a lot like an old TV show, Charlie's Angels, the TV version. They would do that in the cut scenes, like when there was some suspenseful, like, what are we going to do, Charlie?
Yeah.
And they would do that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like, for a cut scene. Anyways, that sound is infectious, and apparently everybody agrees and sampled it to heck. And but that's what made this song so hip-hoppable, I think. And
also that
beat,
that do-do, da, do-do, da, like that groove slow beat. That's what
that's true.
Pete
that goes
Rock,
with it.
Gangstar were sampling beats like that and when using
them
for taking the four measures and turning it into, and not that much sped up. It, you know, it was just that slowed down groove that this song has. I'm sorry, continue.
No, I was so confused when you put this song right after Shadrach, and I thought you were like, it was a message to say, hey, Willis, you need to take it down 1,000. Too much beats and shouting. And so we played this Isaac Hayes, and I am familiar with Isaac Hayes, but I can't say I knew this song. And I may have heard it and sampled in other songs. I must have, but I wouldn't be able to pin it to this song for sure. So this is very educational. And I think I can see those core elements that they would be sampled and used. So calling it pre-hip-hop, I get it now. But at first I was like, I can't really dance to this, Greg.
No, you shouldn't dance to it. In fact, it would be very difficult. You could groove to it, though. You can go, you know, when you're in, think of like Snoop Dogg, or like, you know, when you're like in the convertible and you're just kind of nodding your head along, driving slowly down the boulevard. That's what this is right here. It's like, you know, what do they call those cars that the shocks on them?
Low riders,
right? Like this is that East Side type style. In LA, it's very popular. You know, the Chola style. This is it. And what I love. So a couple of things I want to point out about this, because again, this show is about why and what's the reason we play it, and also like why do we love it so much. This is interesting about Isaac Hayes. We play Walk On By on the station. Not a lot, but it'll come up. Walk On By was another one that's been every hip-hop song that came after it. Sam basically stole from Walk On by Isaac Hayes. It was hip-hop in its earliest form. And to this day, they use that beat as a sampled beat throughout music. Massive Attack has used it. Bjork has used it. All hip hop has used it. There's something about what he was doing that really, at a time when hip hop didn't exist, he was kind of hip hop. He was that soul music's version, which soul music and blues and jazz all became hip hop, right? That's where it was born out of. People who didn't have the money to go buy instruments were making rap music as their expression on the streets. And he was the original version of this. He was literally the face of like breaking free out of the mid-60s, especially the early 60s, with when the world changed, basically, you know, with civil rights. He was the face of that, standing on stage with a damn chain around his neck, to broken chain around his neck, to symbol he broke the breakout of slavery. And this man really was hip-hop. But I put him against any artist as far as his involvement and his purpose in where hip-hop, what hip-hop became. And especially in the golden era in the 90s. And the last thing I want to make is that this guy oozed sexuality. He was almost comes off as like a gigolo, or I don't know if offensive, or but he's like this guy who's got so much confidence and bravado that it can almost be like, you use the word intimidating, right? Yeah. However, what makes the music so amazing is there's a humility and vulnerability in his singing and his words and his melodies that make you understand that he's kind of just like you and I. He just happens to be way more confident than you and I, but he's got a heart, he's got a soul, and he feels love, and he wants love in return for what he's giving. This is not like unfound or unwarranted bravado. This is, he deserves all the bravado that he shows, but he also has that softness and vulnerability, and this song really shows it.
It really oozes like a bedroom mood, you know, and you can feel his swagger coming through. I didn't necessarily feel the vulnerability, but because he is so confident and intimidating for sure. Like, I wouldn't, if I was a woman and he was singing like this, that to me, I'd probably, you couldn't defend yourself, because he's like, I gotcha right here.
You're in his sights. There's nowhere you're exactly. But what I mean by that is, like, if you listen to that part of the melody, he's like, I've been waiting for so long. Yeah. Like, that melody is like very, I would call it vulnerable sounding.
Okay.
Like, not like, get in my room. He's sort of like, I'm here for you right now.
Okay, I see.
Like, there's a sensitive side to it. Yes.
Not 100% forward.
And he has that way in his music of taking this monster-sized, like, bravado and sort of reducing it to, like, I'm just another person, just the same. Behind it all, I'm just a little heart that needs love, you know?
He's humble. Okay. Humble.
Yeah,
okay.
Very. But man, I wish I could... Like, if I could somehow show my praise or like my adoration for an artist bigger than I am doing right now, I wish I could go to that max for Isaac Hayes, because I just don't think he gets recognized as being one of the greatest. And I think he is, personally.
So you would turn the knob to 11.
11.
Basically.
If there was an 11, I'd be on it. Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye are the only other two that I would turn up to that level. And that says so much, really.
Yeah.
It's just the name of those two artists. So, okay. Now that we got that out of the way, this is we're definitely going to increase the energy again. Talk about your next pick.
So this is another not quite new, about a year old collaboration from an artist that we played once before called Ark Patrol, with a K, A-R-K, Patrol. This guy named Brandon Gomez, he's from Seattle. The previous song was a collaboration with him and Fifi Zhang, a vocalist. So he's the producer, and he collaborated with a different vocalist this song called Subat, S-U-B-A-T. And Subat is an L.A.-based musician who is part Afghani. And so he combines his classical, like, Afghani and Indian influences into music.
Yeah, I dig it.
And you can kind of hear it in this collaboration, the way he's singing.
I agree.
And his voice just kind of, like, carries and flies, like, through it feels like this ocean breeze. So this is like electronic, indie, kind of pop. But to me, it's like very natural waves and breeze, and there's like electronic pulsations, and it feels so like core to humanity. I can't describe this in a way that just captures, this feels so natural, this song. It's called You, and it's you two, like there's two eyes, I guess, yeah, in parentheses, because in this, on this EP they produced, there's a you one, so this is you version two, I guess. And I could just put this song on like infinite repeat, and I would be in a good place. Like, you could throw anything at me and I'd be fine.
I've heard Arc Patrol plenty, but I had no idea what to expect when this started, because the voice threw me off. It was like right after the voice came in, I was like, I had to reset.
That's not him, right?
No. And I also, reminded me so much of the Gorillaz sound. I've been really loving the Gorillaz more and more lately. Like, I always loved them, but like I'm starting to get this like understanding of what they have been doing all along that's making me think that they're in the hierarchy of music right now. But this reminded me of that, which is a very high compliment. But then it kind of morphs and it does change as the song goes along. I had to restart this because after 2 minutes, I was like, all right, I love it. I'm going to go back to the beginning and re-listen because I now have a reference of where it's going. I couldn't even finish it through before I restarted. I needed to have like a piece of ginger to clean the palate, you know? And I love what they're doing in the song. I hear so many influences. Specifically, I don't know why I hear Jose Gonzalez in here, but I do. And I also hear Hot Chip, which is also, and I have to kind of hear it with you now to see why I thought those things. But I listened to this about 3 times and I'm a fan. I was bummed out when I found out it was last year it came out. I thought it was like really new, because I would like to throw this into a new music category, and it's probably a little past that time, but great choice, man.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it was on my list for too long, and I should have played it sooner, but
you threw me off on a bunch of these today, because most of the new music you chose were like just last year, so exactly. I didn't want to put anything like new after, because it'd be like two unknown artists or songs, but I like that you did this. I just wish I could find a way to fit them in, because this Subbot and Arc Patrol song would be in rotation as a new music, like starting in a few days if it came out recently. Let's play it though. So that'll be the first song, You, parentheses two, just call it You. And then Depeche Mode to follow. So yes, people who are listening who are like, when am I going to know? You're going to know Depeche Mode. So it's coming next. We had the Beastie Boys and Depeche Mode in here. Okay, let's do it. Let's enjoy the set. You're listening to The Deep Dive on Hi-Fi Dream.
Myself. Your shadow set upon heel parts of you. Callously, as I've been before, I let down the cost hole. I left out the back door.
Halo rivers.
It's the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive. That was Depeche Mode's Halo from one of the greatest albums of all time, Violator, from 1990. It started the decade with one of the greatest albums. Actually, that was a great year for music in general. Before that was Sabat with Arc Patrol doing You from 2025. I think those songs nestle nicely together. I tried back in COVID when I was just, there was a period where as my Face the Sun stuff, I was really making music all the time. And I was doing a series of covers. Like every day I was like, I'm going to do a cover today. So I'd have probably like 20 songs that I did that were like reinvention covers of these songs. And I did Halo.
Yeah.
I was so proud of it at the time. And thinking like I changed it enough to make it my own. And I was so proud of it. But then I like went back years, maybe a year or two later. And I was like, maybe I'm not as proud to present that to people. I was a valiant effort and I like it, but I'm not sure it's as good as I thought it was initially. But that song
like
always, I'll definitely let you hear it. but I always liked that song more than most of the hits of that album. Like Enjoy the Silence was great. I still love that song, but Personal Jesus, I was tired of. Policy of Truth, I liked a lot, but again, I tired a little bit of it. World in My Eyes was kind of like also something I tired of a little bit. So this had so many hits on it, this album, that it was hard for me to like even listen to the album because of it. Cause it was like, I've heard these songs so many times, but Halo was tucked away here. And that became the song that I think of as the hit on the album. It's my hit. And I would put it in my top three or four favorite Depeche Mode songs. But what are your thoughts?
I actually prefer, always have preferred listening to the whole Violator album, like from beginning to end, all the way through. I can, any of the songs, even the hits, I like, except maybe Personal Jesus. I only barely tolerate
it. Yeah, it's weird, that song.
It doesn't quite fit. However, there's a cover or the acoustic version I really like. So, but that's not on the album.
Johnny Cash's version was good too.
Oh yeah, that one's good too. But this, the production of Violator is so clean. I always get this vision when I'm hearing any song from that, except Personal Jesus, that of these like neat rows of silicon, like looking at a circuit board, and you see all the chips like nicely aligned with the resistors, and you're kind of panning across it, and it's like modern, organized, and the future. That's what it sounded like at the time. And every song on it's got, it's like a slightly different mood. All of it's kind of dark in theme, kind of like the album cover is dark, but with a flower on it, so it's like this contrast between beauty and grotesque, I guess. But this song Halo, I never really sat down and knew the title of this song because I would listen to just everything on the album. So listening to it now, though, there were a lot of subtleties like that I never picked up before, like the backing vocals from Tom, Martin Gore. And you were pointing them out, and I'd never heard them before. And the emotion that he sings on the backing vocals that you, if you're listening, you can hear it, is so different than Dave Gahan's voice, who was like more dark, gloomy vocal style versus this bright, like more emphatic backing vocals layered on top of each other. It was a very different song, actually, listening to it this way that I never noticed before.
I think that's a really cool thing to point out is how you're only familiar with it as a full album. Because there are albums like that for me, too, where I don't really listen to the songs on their own isolated as much as I do as just put on the album. And I like certain songs in the context of an album, but I'm those, not just this album, but in general, like where they're in the context of the album, I'll love it. Outside of the album, I won't. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, is one of the greatest albums in history. I may have listened to that album more than any single album in my life, just simply because it's been so popular too. But the song Money by Pink Floyd, if I hear that like outside of the album listen, I get disgusted. Like I hate it. I don't dislike it. I hate it. But if it's on as I'm listening to the record, I have to listen to it. It's almost like I got to get through this one because it's part of this. It's meant to be here. So
it's a chapter of a book.
It's
right?
Weird that's something you could kind of relate to in that regard.
I can't even pick out any name from any song from Dark Side of the Moon. Just like this Violator album, if you told me, like, I wouldn't know the difference between World in My Eyes and Policy of Truth as far as titles, but I know the sounds. And I know
to
the,
me.
Yeah, it's, wow. It's odd.
But Depeche Mode's classic, I consider them probably one of the most likable bands of the past 50 years. I know so many people that don't like indie music or alternative or new wave music that love Depeche Mode, love them. And their regular tastes don't bring them here. Like, they could be hip hop or pop or whatever. I also know people who are indie heads that like deeper music than even I do and like things, don't like anything mainstream, that also love Depeche Mode. They are the common denominator, along with The Cure, I would say, of that era, that's just like, it's okay to like them even if you're not into that kind of music. And I think on the channel, on Hi-Fi Dream, when their songs come on, it's always a perfect bridge to whatever is coming next. So yeah, kudos to Depeche Mode. They deserve a lot of props and shout outs because they pretty much shaped all of us in some weird way. Anybody who lived through that era.
For sure.
So we got what, two more songs left here, right?
Yep.
Oh, this is fun, actually. Especially because I immediately kind of judged this.
Sure.
I remember hearing the song and not liking it when it came out. So again, this is back to the story and the theory I had on songs growing on you. Back in the day, we did it all the time. If we didn't like a song or an album, we bought it. We were just going to keep listening to it because we had to pay for it. Can't do anything about it.
Right.
So you might have started to like songs that you didn't like on your first listen. That rarely happens these days because you hear it once, you don't like it. Why even bother? There's 100 million other choices. But I went back to this song because you put it on your list. And here I am today saying that I got it wrong. I should have played this last year. Tell me about the Noxon Dragonette.
Yeah, so this is the last song in my choices this week that were new releases a year ago. So missed the boat, but this has been on my list. It's called The Hero. It's a collaboration between The Knox, who are B-Rock Ruttner and James J. Pat Patterson. They do electronic, like mostly upbeat, danceable songs. They did a collaboration with Dragonette, who is Martina Sorbara from Canada. She's a pop singer. Her music is more like less distinctive, I think, it's as far as what she creates on her own. Mm-hmm. But when she collaborates with electronic producers, she has some pretty interesting stuff. And I feel like this one is a unique slow jam, like a 90s style slow jam that really feels like a mixture of 80s and 90s R&B, like, or like pop from Prince, or maybe even the voice of Pebbles, if you guys know that.
I love Pebbles. Mercedes Boy is so good.
Yeah, right? But she sings also in this like female, like, vocal, like Pat Benatar, but like a strained vocals, like Bonnie Tyler, Pat Benatar in this song. And even like the bass line, the reverb, the production, the melodic pauses, they're all like this DNA from that 80s, 90s slow jam era. So, and yet this is from 2025. So there's a little bit of like modern haze that keeps it from being totally retro. So I like that blend. It's like this synth pop slow jam for ending our show here, getting to the end.
I'm so glad you mentioned a few of these things because we do have a little time and I'm glad we could talk about it. So there's something about, you mentioned those artists of the 80s, specifically Pat Benatar, Bonnie Tyler. Okay.
Okay.
There's a weird feeling I have because I was so young when Bonnie Tyler and Pat Benatar came out. They left an impression on me, especially Pat Benatar. I was like, had a huge crush on her because I'm watching her in these music videos and she's got these like skin tight pants on. And she's dominating the screen. She just was larger than life. Blondie was like that too, whatever. But those songs, I was super young. So say Total Eclipse of the Heart. It wasn't like I think of that song how somebody who was 25 or 30 at the time thinks of it. I was 7 years old or 5 years old. So it was just on the radio and it was like a pop
song.
And it was good. Yeah. It was good song. Like I could acknowledge it's good. Even though I'm not like a Bonnie Tyler fan or that's not my kind of music. It was a good pop song. Like, I'm sorry. And as I get older, I owned all those records, right? I had them. My sister either had them or I had them. And now I've gotten to this point where if I see certain things in the store, like in the record store, that are used, I'll buy it just to listen one time, like to come home and listen and kind of see what I feel. So last week, of all things, I come across this, the Soul Eclipse of the Heart, Bonnie Tyler
no
record.
No way.
Yeah. And this one too, Night Ranger. You remember Sister Christian?
Yeah, of course.
So these Night are songs Ranger. That are like corny, sort of throwaway pop songs.
Right.
But the records are like $2. I'm like, I'm going to grab these because I had them when I was a kid and it's going to be nostalgic to listen to them.
Nostalgic.
Now,
yes.
Mind you, it is what it is. Like, I like Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart. A lot of people do. But the rest of the album is not very easy to listen to. And there was a couple on the Night Ranger album. But again, there's something about those songs. And when you hear them, like those elements in a modern day song, I definitely think it elevates them to an extent. And this song has that pop feel of like 80s pop music when it was good.
Yeah.
That's why I got this wrong. Because there are those elements that you mentioned from Pat Benatar. That doesn't exist anymore in pop music. That was back in those days, you could have a great rock song be a pop song. You could have a great country song be a pop song. You could have a great
right.
disco song be on pop radio. It wasn't like its own format. It was just the best of all these different styles. And certain new songs capture that. And it's pretty cool when it happens because you're like, this would be in that classified or unclassified area in 80s pop music where you're like, I can't figure out what this is really. It's just a good song. That's what this is.
That's true. And what's crazy is that it's like an amalgamation to me. I can't point out one particular song, an example of the sound from this song, like what it sounds like. But to me, it brings me back to that era.
Uh-huh.
And it's the whole sum total of it, I think.
And I love that you brought up Pebbles. I think that's another one. Like Prince, everybody knows. Most people love him, but you know who he is. Pebbles was kind of like on the outskirts of the mainstream, but was mainstream.
She had pop hit.
Three very big hits, Mercedes Boy, Girlfriend, and then a song called Giving You the Benefit of the Doubt, which was their next album.
Okay.
Those were pop hits. Then there was like a bunch of R&B hits she had. But then she went on to sign artists. She signed Pink and a bunch of artists and whatever.
Oh, okay.
As like an A&R person and a record label. So she was really important. But again, they just all were good musicians, good artists. And I love when some of these artists tap into that style of pop music. And as they will on the song you'll hear right now, the Knox to me I never consider them much of anything. They have a couple of tracks I like, but they're more like electronic. I would call it like more pop EDM sound most times, but every now and then they get it right. And, I've heard a few times they did one with Totally Enormous Extinct Dinosaurs or
right.
However that works.
Teed.
Yeah. That's a great song called Walking on Water. But then there's many of them that I can't even listen to. Like, it's unlistenable. So this is right, I think, a really nice track. And I love the choice of Dragonette. The last song is totally different than yours, but it's actually kind of carries the same mood. But DuckTales, have you heard of them?
You know, I feel like you talked about them before.
I think I had them on a show. I put them on a show once.
I thought I searched, but I couldn't find it. Maybe I
Map of the Stars was the song. Map to the Stars, I think, was what I chose. It was back on show 22 or somewhere back there.
Okay. Then that's where I heard it. Well, maybe you should talk about it first, then I'll tell you.
Okay. So it's the band Real Estate. You know who they are. When they were first coming up, we knew those guys. They were from Jersey. So we used to do some shows with them. And our station at the time, radio station, brought him down to do some shows for us. And I got to know the guys. He was a weird guy, the dude who is Real Estate now. He got eventually booted out of the band because of some allegations, like some charges against him. So he went solo. I think the charges all got dropped, but he held a grudge and left and did this DuckTales project, which was admittedly, I think he would even tell you it's hit or miss. He put out he was prolific, put out a ton of music.
Okay.
Some of it's like instrumental albums. Some of it's like one song will have vocals, but mostly they're just like quick songs he wrote and just put them out. And when he got it right, it was like exceptionally good. And if you handpick through his albums, you could probably come up with across like 10 records. You might find like 20 great songs. this is one of them for sure. It's called Letter of Intent, and it's beautiful. It's trippy and kind of like spacey and heady, but it's also got the groove that I love, and the female voice that combos with it really makes for like an easy listen to me. So I'm curious of your thoughts.
Yeah, there's this really good like guy girl vocals that I think really go together. Like that he comes in, she comes in, they kind of go back and forth. Although they never sing together, so it makes me think they were recorded at separate times or maybe in different locations. But the female vocals, I like the way she sings. It's kind of like nonplussed her style, and that really works for me. It reminds me of Faded Paper Figures. There's a female vocalist who sounds mm-hmm. similar. But the guitar work really stands out to me. You mentioned he's the guitarist, right, from
yeah.
Real Estate. You can tell. And there's this interesting solo, like a guitar solo, or is it a keyboard? I'm not sure. But it's got like the wah-wah of a rock like guitar.
Yes.
But it's very like understated in punch. So it feels like it's a keyboard. Like, I'm not sure. That sounds like a guitar.
I can't tell you for sure either.
But that stood out. And the beat is like this kind of like falling off echo of a beat that is definitely a Greg style beat, I think.
It kind of trails
yeah,
off.
Yeah, exactly. You like subtle beats, but with a groove. And there's these lightly plucked guitars and little flute solos, really bright synths. It feels like a new wave, like 90s new wave or sophistopop feel.
That's a good call.
But with the female vocals, it's like modern and in like that puts us at that 30,000 foot altitude of like hi-fi dream space. So it's a good blend of that.
Great
good choice.
Great way to wrap up the thought there. It definitely has the 30K altitude. And that's something, if there's one common denominator on hi-fi dream, I feel like that would be it. Can you imagine yes. it while listening as you're flying through the sky? Without a plane. just like, can you imagine it's the hi-fi element of it for sure.
Yeah.
This song has all of it. To me, this is what the overnight sound like sometimes to me is like this song, the last track you'll hear. Actually, both these songs where you can kind of like, you get a feel for what's going on in the playlist. If you've never listened to the hi-fi dream sound in the overnight, it's different. But I think, in my opinion, it's really the pulse of what I think. I would like it to sound that way all the time, but it's okay. probably not suitable for all day. But if I could, I would migrate that to the whole day because I enjoy the nighttime overnight playlist, like 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. And then also, I want to also say last night's Underground was the first time I ever did live DJing mixed. I did like sets for that show and it was cool. A lot of fun. I will replay it at some point. I might send them to you just so you can hear it and hear what I decided to put in there because I think you'd get a kick out of it more so than maybe most
cool.
people will care. But I will do that again. I'm definitely excited that I put my mind to it to do it.
Definitely want to hear that.
Well, thanks for your help today, brother. I had a great time doing this playlist 119 with you. The last two songs are going to play, but before we do, anything else you want to add? And I'll.
We should plug that we're working on our next vinyl show, right? We're putting together a live, our run through recording of our favorite our top 10 vinyl picks for the quarter. I think we're doing them every quarter now. So this will be the summer vinyl show that we'll be recording soon.
I might have my own little theme I'm going to follow for that one. I haven't decided yet, like a summer vibe theme. I'm not sure. Like bonfire music. I'm not sure. I'm going to try something with related to that time of year, though, of course.
Nice.
Maybe songs that remind me of certain years I might do. And also to that point, enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day. So it's Sunday. We have an extra day tomorrow. Some of us, not all of us. Some people have the extra day. And we hope you do and take the time to enjoy being with your family and slowing down a little bit. The world's crazy. So slow it down a little bit and enjoy. The first song here will be The Knox with Dragonette doing The Hero from 2025, Willis's pick. Then DuckTales from 2013. Another one of my favorite cartoons, by the way, DuckTales.
Yeah, the DuckTales.
I love DuckTales. Letter of Intent is the song. And we'll see you all next week on The Deep Dive.
Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive.